Welcome to episode 5 of Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mavitt. Well, the NFL season is in the bag, and we have a new champion, the New England Patriots, for the first time ever. Actually, it's for the fifth time ever, so it's kind of getting boring. But congrats to them for winning the big game and putting up another trophy in their big trophy room, and we'll see what they can do next year when Tom Brady's 40. How about that? So moving on to something a little more entertaining, we have a big, big non-football related thing happening later today, and that's the release of the most anticipated movie of all time, Lego Batman. So we thought it'd be fun to do a little sports comic book hero mashup and see who would be a sports superhero, specifically on the Seahawks, and conversely, who would be the villains. So let's dive into that real quick. Before we get into that, let's give a quick shout out to the band Liebecker. They provide music for the show, and we are very grateful because they are a great band from the Great Northwest, and we hope they're around for decades to come because their music is awesome. So if you haven't already, please check them out. They're at www.liebeckermusic.com. You can also click the link on our webpage, and it'll take you right to them. They're available on iTunes, Spotify, any of your music providers, so please check them out. So, superheroes on the Seahawks, who do we have? That's the real question. So, if we're looking at guys that we would call a superhero, where do you start? I guess you would start with Russell Wilson. He's the quarterback, he's the leader of the team. Who would he be? I guess in my mind, that's the closest thing you've got in a sports superhero to Batman. The guy just does it all, he's super resourceful. He's definitely got the Bruce Wayne part down. I mean, the guy married Sierra, so he's definitely got the rich playboy act down, and he looks good in a tuxedo. So, you know, he could be a James Bond type, but we're going to call him Bruce Wayne or Batman. And one of the reasons that, you know, you look at Russell Wilson, he was a guy that was drafted in the third round. A lot of people overlooked him. Didn't have a great career in college, played at both NC State and Wisconsin, came into the NFL and really took the league by storm, and he's been taking it by storm ever since, getting better every year, it seems like. But when he puts his uniform on, you know, here's the thing, is that he doesn't have any amazing athletic abilities. I mean, he doesn't have great arm strength, he doesn't have great legs, he doesn't have great ability to sprint past defenders. So, you know, you'd think about him and, you know, as far as his actual talent, they're not average, but they're certainly not spectacular. He just makes amazing things happen with pretty ordinary gifts, which is a lot like Batman. You know, when he puts on his suit, he turns into this superhero. When he takes it off, he's just a regular guy. He's mortal just like the rest of us. And Russell Wilson's very much the same. He puts that uniform on and he's in game mode. He has enhanced strength, enhanced speed, and field vision. He's just a resourceful genius who thrives in clutch situations. He may lack the speed or strength of his friends, you know, like Superman or The Flash, but he more than makes up for it in his ability to work any situation in his favor. He does tend to kind of wheel and deal a little bit more than he probably should, which is kind of a trait of a vigilante, which, of course, that's Batman in a nutshell. But it works out so well most of the time that he hardly ever gets called out for it. And speaking of Batman, you know, how good would Batman be without Alfred, who, you know, he calls his butler, but, I mean, the guy is basically his best friend and confidant and, you know, other than Robin, probably the closest thing he has to a real sidekick, and Alfred just takes care of him, and he's absolutely a big part of the operation, because you think back and, like, all the things Batman's been able to do, what would he have done without Alfred? Same can be said of Pete Carroll, you know, where would Russell Wilson be without what Pete Carroll has done here in Seattle? So, you know, maybe you don't consider Alfred or Pete a superhero, but they absolutely are one when you look at everything together on the same page. Their contributions just dictate that they absolutely are a superhero. Pete's, you know, like Alfred, he's a fierce friend and supporter of Wilson or Bruce Wayne. His experience and patience in tough situations makes him a great ally. You know, he doesn't have Batman's physical gifts or his, you know, the powers that his suit or vehicles gives him. But he's definitely one of the most intelligent men in Seattle, and he frequently bails Russell out of hot water whenever he gets into it. And a lot of times Russell will let his physical gifts get in the way of what's actually in front of him. And Pete's good at reeling him back in, or Daryl Bevel, whoever it needs to be. So you've kind of got the 1-2 punch there. So then if if Wilson is Batman, then obviously there's going to be a villain attached to that. And, you know, who else would that be other than, you know, who we mentioned before, Tom Brady? If you think of who would be Batman's greatest rival, you know, that's got to be the same as who's Wilson's greatest rival. And right now it has to be Tom Brady. So he's clearly the Joker. He's Batman's one rival who's his equal, which, you know, that sounds awesome, but it's actually terrifying. And you think of Tom Brady, you think of the Joker, they're both ageless and emotionless. They're the enemy that gets a kick out of making his opponents suffer in a variety of ways. They don't seem to care if they die by a thousand cuts or fall victim to a powerful explosion. Doesn't make a difference to them, they're always smiling or laughing. They're just twisted individuals, is what we're getting at. And, you know, the thing about the Joker and Brady, neither one of them can be bought, they can't be bargained with, and based on their history, we don't know how to destroy them, so they just keep going on. I think the Heath Ledger incarnation of the Joker said it best, that they're destined to do this forever, and, you know, if he hadn't unfortunately and untimely passed away, they probably would be. And, you know, same as Joker, Brady's victories are always a little sickening and a little tough to swallow, so, you know, obviously there's some pretty big parallels there. And, you know, maybe we don't like Brady as much as we should. Maybe we don't respect him as much as we should. Same as the Joker. You know, when you spend your whole life doing really twisted things, it's hard to really look at that and go, I appreciate you. Moving on to who's another hero of ours? Well, you know, you can't have a Batman without a Robin. So who's the best Robin on the team? That's going to be Thomas Rawls. He definitely lacks physical gifts and he struggles to stay healthy, partially because his uniform has no extra protection or abilities, unlike Batman's, which is basically a suit of armor. But, like Robin, Rawls has a huge heart, and he has an internal fire that keeps him fighting long after the average man would have given up. And he's, you know, a gifted fighter, or brawler, if you will. And he finds ways to win, even when the opposition appears daunting. You know, you never see Robin back down from a fight, even though a lot of times he's up against guys that are, you know, 10, 15 years his senior, and in much better physical shape, or have more physical abilities, but he still rides along with Batman and fights him. Rawls does the same thing. You know, he, played on a partially fractured leg earlier this year, and he tried to play through a broken ankle last year, but he couldn't do it. He's just, the guy's all heart, and that's definitely what Robin embodies, so he's perfect for Russell Wilson and for Pete. You know, they're a really good trio. After that, you know, you get a little more dicey with our choices here, but just go along with it, because it's all for fun. You have Doug Baldwin, who to us would be the closest thing to Captain America. Why, you might ask? Well, you look at Doug Baldwin, you know, if you bump into him on the street, you probably wouldn't be intimidated at all. He's not a mountain of a man, he doesn't run particularly fast, and nothing about him, like, screams intimidation or size or power, and yet when he's on the field on Sundays, he just turns into this angry superhero, and you kind of get the impression that he's been given the soldier super serum, just like our friend Steve Rogers, so... He's definitely the best embodiment of Captain America. I mean, he's a very intelligent guy who becomes super when he puts on his uniform. I mean, right there, Captain America. He may have average speed, size, or strength, but his uniform and desire to be great make him superhuman, and he kicks it into high gear when he faces an opponent with greater speed or strength, which, you know, you put Baldwin in front of somebody who's allegedly better than him, he'll just kick it into a high gear. He's a lot like Seabiscuit, the famous horse from the 30s. Won some races that you would have never bet on him to win, and Baldwin's kind of like that guy. You know, he's kind of like another Steve Smith who played a lot of years playing a similar style of football and was never really given his due, and, you know, maybe Baldwin won't be given his due. You know, he had 14 touchdowns 2 years ago, and I think he had something close to that this year, and he continues to put up yards and catches, and he's about as consistent as they come. You know, he doesn't put up gaudy numbers that jump off the page, but everything he does every Sunday contributes to this team, and that's exactly like Captain America. He's not everybody's favorite superhero, but he's one of the most necessary. You know, you don't have the Avengers without him. And while there's guys like Iron Man / Tony Stark that would tell you otherwise, he even comes to appreciate him later on. So with that, we'll take our first break, and now a word from our sponsors. This portion of our show has been brought to you by Strigoi's House of Chance, Romania's premier gambling parlor. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Strigoi's House of Chance, not all gambling involves money. Sometimes a life is on the line. Or is it? We don't know. Strigoi's House of Chance, we can't wait to see you! Mirrors not allowed, waiver required. Welcome back into Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. We're going to go ahead and continue our little discussion on which NFL players would be superheroes, which NFL players would be villains, with an emphasis on the Seattle Seahawks players and coaching. So let's dive back into that. We previously covered that Russell Wilson would be Batman, Thomas Rawls would be Robin, and Pete Carroll would be Alfred Pennyworth. And, of course, Tom Brady would be the Joker. So on to the next guy. So if Pete Carroll is Alfred and Russell Wilson is Batman and Thomas Rawls is Robin, and we also covered Doug Baldwin as Captain America, where would we put the Seahawks' main villain other than Tom Brady? I guess to me that would be Bill Belichick, because he's been their main rival in the last few years. And to me, he's a lot like the Riddler. He's a very intelligent human being. He's got some social anxiety. He doesn't really seem to have a sense of humor. And he loves playing mind games with pretty much anyone. You know, riddles, not necessarily, but mind games, sure. So I think he's definitely the Riddler. You know, a lot of people might be saying, oh, he's clearly the Emperor from Star Wars. Well, if we were comparing Seahawks to Star Wars characters, that would be accurate. And maybe one day we'll get around to that. But today it's about comic book heroes. And as far as comic book heroes go, he's the Riddler. And, you know, he's a master strategist and student of human behavior. He's also a terrifying opponent who can twist any situation to work in his favor. I mean, if that doesn't sound like Bill Belichick to you, it certainly does to me. And that definitely sounds a lot like the Riddler. So definitely kind of got him there. So let's check in on another couple of heroes, because there's definitely, you know, like any good world, you need more heroes than villains. So there's definitely more heroes on our list. So finishing up the heroes on offense, we're going to go with Jimmy Graham, who, you know, it's tough to say who he would be. Some people might say the Hulk because of his abilities and his size, but he doesn't play angry, and we think there's a better version of the Hulk out there who is probably more of a villain, and we'll get into that a bit later. So really, Jimmy Graham, to me, you know, as versatile as he is, he's the Green Lantern. You know, he's a talented and gifted guy who now holds the Ring of Power. He has unmatched size and speed. He's capable of converting his strengths to fit whatever the team needs. You know, we don't want to talk about the Green Lantern movie because nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to remember they even saw it. But, you know, as far as who's a good Green Lantern, it's definitely Jimmy Graham. And, you know, to his credit, maybe he could make a better movie. And that's kind of all we had on that. You know, the guy is so talented. He's a big guy. He's a fast guy. He's a strong guy. He could be a lot of different heroes. But we just felt like with his versatility, you know, he can line up at tight end. He can line up at wide receiver. He's getting better at blocking. He can run the same routes as Baldwin and Lockett and Kearse do. So, you know, he's just so useful in so many different ways that, you know, while he's maybe better suited to be a different hero, he definitely fits the bill of a Green Lantern. So moving on to the defensive side of the ball, you have Richard Sherman, and to us, he was a lot like Loki, Thor's younger adopted brother. He's just a very intelligent guy with a gift for deception. He's not a gifted fighter, but his ability to time attacks and to deceive his opponents is second to none and makes him a great ally. Terrible opponent if you're not on his team, but if you're on his team, he's just a great teammate. He is a vigilante who goes off script and needs to be reeled in from time to time, and when he goes off script, he really goes off script. But his admiration for Thor is what often keeps him in check. There is not a better example of a playmaker when he is on his game. And he's also one of the greatest teammates you could ask for. And, you know, that's Loki in a nutshell. You know, he's been a villain quite a few times. And, you know, some of you may remember some of Sherman's outbursts or antics. And, you know, for as smart as that guy is, he does talk a little more than maybe he ought to. But to his credit, that's probably getting him in time or in tune for his role after football, which is probably as an analyst or a color man, or, you know, maybe he'll have his own radio show. I mean, the guy is very, very talented, very intelligent. You know, you don't get into Stanford on a whim. And so we'll see what he does. But for now, you know, he's too good of a villain, but he is also a hero. Maybe he's an anti-hero. Maybe that's where we should put him instead. But and then as far as who's another villain, let's go with Cam Newton, who we felt was a lot like Bane in that he was a man born into questionable circumstances. He has amazing physical gifts, but he's often difficult to relate to. He struggles with adversity. Newton's ability to run or pass as well or better than any player in the league make him terrifying to defend, but Seattle has the playmakers on both sides to hold him in check. And, you know, his schemes seem to cover up some other things because they really feature his physical gifts, but you just don't see him picking apart defenses or, you know, sitting back in the pocket and really reading progressions. So, you know, maybe his physical talents, like Bane's, are getting in his way. The Legion of Boom holds a career advantage and have been able to overcome his power with well-designed counters, which is a lot like Batman taking on Bane. In a clear brawl or fist fight, Bane's going to beat him most of the time, but when you actually bring intelligence and strategy to the table, a guy like Wilson will be better every time. Next on our list of heroes is going to be Earl Thomas, who, with his speed and quickness, he just has to be the Flash. You look at what Thomas is able to do on the football field, and it's not that different from what Barry Allen can do in the DC universe. He's a good guy who is given the gift of superhuman speed. He's an underrated player. You know, as much as we hear about how good Thomas is, I just don't get the impression that he's being thought of as one of the great safeties in the game today. And that's kind of a crime, but it's also like, you know, a lot of people don't think of the Flash as one of the greatest superheroes ever. There are a lot of people that really like the Flash, but when push comes to shove, is he their favorite? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that he's not valued and valued tremendously. You look at Thomas's ability to cover huge portions of the field in mere seconds. I mean, that just makes him an unmatched force. And as a result, he's never out of position. That's something you really can't put a price tag on when you've got just a talented defense as Seattle does, but they're even better when Thomas is on the field. You look how they looked at the end of the 2016 season when he went down with an injury. And they just didn't look like they had the same identity as when he's out there. You know, as good as Cam Chancellor is, I just don't get the impression that he's as important to this defense as Earl Thomas is. I think you definitely have to have both of them if you can. But as far as do you lose your identity with one versus the other, I think that if you were to lose Earl Thomas, that's a devastating blow. And the Flash would be the same way in the DC universe. His ability to close in on opponents frees up his teammates to stick to their strengths and not get lost in the heat of battle. And that's just a testament to what Thomas is able to do. And he's been doing it for a while, and he'll keep doing it for a while. You know, he doesn't look like he's slowing down. And, you know, there were some whispers about him maybe retiring because of this injury. And I don't think there's anything there. I think he'll be back next year. And hopefully with this young core, or not young, but youngish core of talent that they've got in Wilson and Rawls and Graham and Sherman, Chancellor, they'll be able to do some big things while they're all still relatively young and in their late 20s. And then, you know, who would be another villain? How about one of their previous tormentors in Jim Harbaugh? You know, the closest thing that we probably run into, a Lex Luthor type. You know, he's a normal guy with a genius aptitude and a really bad attitude. And, you know, that could kind of be how you describe Lex Luthor. You know, he's kind of not everybody's favorite guy. And that's kind of how you would talk about Harbaugh, I guess. You know, he's partially retired, coaching Michigan in the NC2A. Not really retired, but it's not the pro level. And when he was at his peak in 2012, he was the Seahawks' main villain and tormentor. He just has an unmatched ability to get under anyone's skin and push them to unwinnable situations. Unlikable on every level, everyone in Seattle is glad that Harbaugh is at his alma mater and out of the NFL spotlight. You know, you think back to Pete Carroll's first years in Seattle, and they were okay, and then he got really good in 2012, and that's, you know, exactly when Harbaugh was at his peak and went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Ravens, and actually his older brother, John. And the next year, they lost to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, and they did not make it back to the playoffs after that, and then Harbaugh left town after going 8-8. But, you know, you look at what he's able to do to Pete Carroll when Pete Carroll was at Stanford, or at USC, and Harbaugh was at Stanford, and they had the whole what's your deal game where Harbaugh went for two while he was up by a lot. And even when they were in Seattle or in San Francisco, they still had pretty good grudge match going. And I think if Harbaugh would ever come back, like, there was some talk of him going to the Rams this last offseason. You know, I think that a lot of Seahawks fans would hate that, but, you know, sometimes your biggest villain makes you the best version of yourself. So maybe the Seahawks don't have the challenge they had a couple years ago. Maybe they need someone to really push them around. So with that, we'll go to another break, and we'll come back with our last couple superheroes and our last couple of villains and wrap this up. Thank you for listening to Armchair Sports. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Today's episode brought to you in part by Strigoi's House of Chance, Walt's Pizza Emporium, and Stan Steampunk Galleria. Come to Walt's Pizza Emporium. We have all of your favorite things: pizza, retro, slightly functioning games, And everyone's favorite, what the hell happened to my quarter? Walt's Pizza Emporium, buy a slice and a used game today, please. Our lease depends on you. And our final segment is brought to you by Stan's Steampunk Galleria. Most of our stuff just looks cool. Who cares if it doesn't work? It's all marked up and no returns are allowed. What do you have to lose? Everything? Perhaps. But you'll never know for sure unless you make a questionable purchase at Stan's Steampunk Galleria. Welcome back to Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. This is our final segment of the day. We appreciate you listening to us, and we hope that you'll like us on Facebook and tell all your friends. We'd like to stick around, but podcasts don't pay for themselves, people. We need sponsors. So anyway, we'll dive back into our conversation, talking about NFL stars and what superheroes they would be, who would be a villain, focusing on the Seattle Seahawks, of course, and their rivals. So who have we covered so far? Well, let's look back. So we had Russell Wilson as Batman, Pete Carroll as Alfred Pennyworth, Thomas Rawls as Robin, Doug Baldwin as Captain America, Jimmy Graham as Green Lantern, Richard Sherman as Loki, Earl Thomas as The Flash, and Bill Belichick as the Riddler, Tom Brady as the Joker, and Cam Newton as Bane, and Jim Harbaugh as Lex Luthor. So that brings us to our final two people that we have to go over. One's a hero, one's a villain. So let's talk Cam Chancellor, who we've designated as Thor. Cam is the heir to the throne of the Emerald City and the captain of the Legion of Boom. He's the only player in the NFL who has taken down the Hulk one-on-one. His superhuman strength forces his opponents to keep their distance as he could strike at any moment. And he has a hammer-strong shoulder charge, which has proven fatal to many receivers. He's a great friend and teammate, ally, and the ultimate playmaker. You know, to me, that just if that's not Thor, I don't know who is. Thor, of course, is half-brother or adopted brother to Loki. And he's just a really strong guy with an awesome hammer and an awesome head of hair. And women seem to like him. I'm sure there's something about him. But he's definitely who I think Cam Chancellor embodies the most, and he's definitely the leader on the team. And, you know, he's had some interesting beards over the years, just like Thor, and, you know, he doesn't grow his hair out like Thor does. You know, Richard Sherman might have more Thor hair than Cam does, but to us, that's our Thor. And, you know, if we could get Cam to pose in that costume just so we can put it on a poster for all you Seattle Seahawks kids out there, well, we'll see what we can do for Halloween. So that brings us to our final villain of the night, and this guy's not necessarily a villain. He's definitely not the most likable person on the planet, but he is very jolly and very friendly, but he says some things that just make you rub the wrong way. So we've looked at Rob Gronkowski and think of him as the Hulk. You know, he's a guy with superhuman size and strength. He's not overly fast, but he can obliterate most opponents with his other abilities. He's really only able to be defeated individually by Thor, or Cam Chancellor in this case. Other heroes or teammates are forced to attack him as a team or as a group with limited results. You know, look at when Cam Chancellor has been the main defender on Rob Gronkowski when Cam has been healthy, and he's been really stellar over the last few years. And, you know, they didn't get a fully healthy Cam in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. That's not an excuse. It's just the honest truth. And I think we would have all liked to see how that would have played out if both teams were healthy. And I think in week six of this season or whenever it was when Seattle and New England played against each other in New England and Seattle went in there and beat them on their home turf. And part of that was a goal to go stand against Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. And the main defender on those plays was none other than Cam Chancellor. So there you have it. So that's what we're going to wrap up with. And we appreciate you listening to our show. And we'd like to thank our sponsors. And above all else, we'd like to thank the fans, the listeners, and also Liebecker for providing music for the show. Again, if you haven't checked them out already, please do so. They're at www.liebeckermusic.com. You can click the link on our webpage. Please like them on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook. We can be found at Armchair Sports, or you can find us on Oregon Sports News, or you can find us on OregonSportsNews.com. So this has been a lot of fun, and we appreciate you for listening, and we'll see you next week.